and runs her dark eyes over me. Bear Alpha. The book said it's extremely rare for Omegas to recognize their Alphas by name once they fall into their heat haze, and this isn't technically my name, but it's better. The words hit my heart like flaming darts lighting me up. While the others chuckle quietly, I sink to the floor and go to her, lifting her right out of Damon's arms and into mine. That's right, Butterfly. It's Bear. Come here. I scent mark her face before I lower myself to the mattress and pull her on top of me. She scrabbles against my bare chest, her blunt nails leaving stripes behind. A small squeak ekes out, telling me she's having another cramp. My Alpha and I immediately snap to action, lifting her by the hips to tunnel my cock right into her needy pussy. Fuck. She's scorching hot, and slicker than ever. Sensation zings up my spine, tightening my abs while she bears down, riding me in sloppy rolls of her hips. Her head falls forward and lolls, her sightless eyes searching, and I just know what to do. Here, I rasp, dropping one hand to her hips to guide her pace, while the other cups her cheek and brings her face to mine. I'm right here, baby. With a strangled moan, she burrows into my neck, licking and nipping my throat while she tries to fuck me harder. I grunt, snapping my hips up to meet hers. Damon appears behind her and sends me a half-smirk. Here, allow me. I spread my thighs for him to kneel at her back. He grasps her hips and works her over me, the motion instantly going from sloppy to seamless. With his help, she slides right up and down without a hitch. I groan, my balls tightening as she squeezes me in smooth glides. He bites her shoulder gently, murmuring encouragement in that sweet voice he saves just for her. Hi, sweetness. I'm so glad I'm here with you. Does your Alpha's cock feel good?
More, she cries. More, please, Alpha.
Smith crawls over, sitting on his knees at my side. He grasps Remy's chin in his hand and squeezes just hard enough to get her attention. When their eyes meet, he speaks to Dee. Get her ass slicked up. Remy gushes over my cock. Damon doesn't even pause, immediately gripping the knot swelling at the base of my shaft, kneading it while he collects her honey-drenched slick on his fingers. He purrs, and she turns, searching for his lips, moaning when their tongues meet in an open-mouthed kiss. He skates back between her ass cheeks and works his thumb in until I feel it in her pussy. When he feels me pounding inside, he growls. Fuck you, feel good, Cass. I want in. Remy bucks between us, begging. I smirk at my packmate. You heard her? Get in there. He's clearly on edge, pupils eclipsing the blue in his eyes as he nestles himself against her ass. A ragged groan tears out of his throat. He pushes into her back hole, instantly making her grip on my cock twice as tight. My vision goes white, my head falling back on a pant. God damn it, Dee, fuck! Smith lays a staying hand on my shoulder and cups Remy's head with the other. You good, Omega? She whines, the sound needy. Smith takes her lips, kissing her hard. My good fucking girl taking two Alpha cocks. You going to come all over them? Remy strangles my dick more slick, dousing my groin. Fuck! Damon curses too, his head falling to her shoulder while he pounds her harder. The friction of him rutting her ass makes me feel feral. I screw my cock into Remy faster, my knot swelling. Damon's is too. It bumps against mine as we both batter into her. Smith drops his hand to our Omega's clit, stroking for barely 2 seconds before she starts coming all over both of us. I shove in deep, letting my knot lock into place, seconds before she detonates around it. Slick pours onto me, her scent and screams tipping me over the edge. Every muscle in my core clenches while I fill her. Damon sinks his teeth into her shoulder, groaning around his gentle bite and erupting his own release. He collapses while I thump back onto the mattress. Smith catches Remy, holding her up while he licks into her mouth. She kisses him back until my knot releases, then flashes her hazy eyes at him. More Alpha.
Chapter 64. Damon. I'm lying on the floor of the nest like I've just been shot. Cassian might actually be dead for all he's moving. I could feel how hard he fucked her, and I know I emptied both barrels on that round. Did our Omega really just say more? What did Cass say he read in her file? She needs 3 active alphas minimum for her heat. Thank God we're athletes. I know what she needs, Smith intones, speaking into her breasts while she grinds her pussy against Cassian's pelvis. Damon, think you can fit in her pussy with me? Fucking excuse me? Well, I thought I was dead, but I guess not. My cock twitches, rising right back up. Shit, Alpha, say less. Smith reads my mind, meeting my eyes over her curly hair. He arches a brow. Think you can handle that? Oh, he's going down. Get her ready for us, Cass, he murmurs. We're both going to have to be hard as fuck for this to work. I can tell he's already there, but I need about 30 seconds before I'm back at full capacity. While I manhandle my knot, my teammate rolls Remy over and huddles on top of her, framing her round, reddened cheeks with his huge hands. Hi, baby, he mumbles, scent marking her as she whines softly, bucking up into him. I'm here. It's okay. His purr echoes through the nest. I'll stay with you while your other alphas fill you up, too. I'll always stay with you. Shit, they're cute together. I may be a sex expert, but Cassian is a Remy expert. He's the one who taught me how to connect with her, showed me all of her favorite things. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't jealous of his foresight. Because he waited, he's hers in a way no one else ever can be. He's only known her body, only ever wanted her. She likes this. He grunts to us, rocking his hips in a C-shape until she keens. He leans down to nuzzle at her cheek, speaking only to her. You like that, butterfly? My girl is so good for me. It's fucking sweet the way he speaks to her. For her. She may not be able to answer us, but his girl is still in there, and he's making sure she knows that he's not leaving her. If the way he grits his teeth is any indication, she's coming again. He lets her use him, holding himself deep until she whines for more. Fucking perfect, dirty Omega. Mine. He rolls off her, and she huffs in outrage, a bratty expression pinching her features. More, she says again, this time pissy. Need more, Alpha. Judging by the dangerous glint in Cass's eye, I'd say she's poking her bear. When she doesn't stop pouting, he wraps her hair around his fist and uses his other arm to lift her onto her hands and knees, putting her mouth level with his glistening dick. More rams, he taunts lightly, pressing the head to her lips. See what we taste like together. You're coming mine. Suck it off my cock. With a starved moan, she pounces, pulling his entire length into her mouth. He groans, head falling back, gritting, you two better get in her pussy, fuck, before she sucks out my soul. Smith helps me lift her so I can slide underneath. She instantly presses her palms to my chest, whimpering and moaning while she deep-throats Cass's cock less than a foot above my face. Hot damn. This is fucking incredible. Smith spreads our Omega's thighs, his knuckles knocking at mine. Do you mind? I shake my head, panting as I brace for what's next. Smith grips my straining dick and positions it, checking the angle before he lines his up beside me. Look at this perfect Omega, he husks, planting his hand on her hips, about to take 2 of her alphas in her pussy. Think you can take it, Angel? You want 2 cocks inside you? A shrill shriek vibrates around Cassian's cock, and his knot visibly pulses. Ah, God! He gnashes his teeth. Fuck her hard. Smith and I both thrust at the same time, stretching Remy's pussy wider than any of us ever have before. For a second, I'm not sure I'll last. They feel too fucking good. The hot, hard pulse of Smith's erection beating against the underside of my dick, her wet heat sucking at our heads. When she screams and starts bucking, her smooth, slippery inner walls stroke us both. We're sucked in deeper, both groaning and growling. At first, we barely have to move. Shallow pulses have all of us clinging to the edge of our control until Smith snarls and shoves deeper. The bottom of his crown rubs into mine, pressing me into the spot where one of our knots will fill her later. She keens, the sound a gorgeous gurgle around the veins rushing up Cassian's cock, tightening his balls. With his new angle, Smith's knot grinds into mine. And, fuck me, it feels so good. The more they touch, the harder they get, until our knots are kneading one another without anyone's hands for help. He pants, glancing down at the place where we're all connected, then over at me. His eyes are wild, but there's a question lurking in them. If I weren't half a breath away from coming and ending the ecstasy, I might smirk at it. Instead, I flash my teeth on a growl. Harder. I keep my thrust shallow while he roars, plunging in faster and deeper. The motion makes Remy's luscious tits bounce over my face. I stretch my neck and nip at her to distract myself from the delicious friction stealing my sanity, licking the bites off her nipples with soothing swirls of my tongue. She whimpers and whines. Cass tenses, his knot inflating while his balls drop. Her hands scrabble at his thighs, and I realize what she wants, but she can't reach without losing her balance. Without thought, I reach up and back, rolling his balls in my hand. Fuck, he bellows. Shit. D, Remy, gotta fill this pretty mouth with my cum. Smith snarls again, the sound desperate. I reach around Remy's thigh and his to roll his sack too, tugging on it until his eyes roll back. He remembers himself 2 seconds later, growling, not her deep D. I'm going to take her ass while Cass lets her taste him. The feeling of him pulling out of her pussy, sliding hot and slick against me, is enough to juice my knot. I work the extra girth in, grateful that Smith helped stretch her first when I have to ease the top half of my knot in before popping the bottom into place. The second I do, I feel Smith tunnel into her tight little ass. Our Omega shakes and screams, her body clenching us both so tightly that we may never get out. Fine with me. Fuck it. I'm staying right here. Her slick pussy tugs at my cock and bears down around my knot, squeezing in the most delicious way. She's scorching hot, slippery bliss. The sense of rightness that races through my blood, from my throbbing knot to my aching heart, just makes everything so much more, which is just what she asked for. Chapter 65 Smith. We have the most beautiful little brat who's ever existed. She's passed out again, snuggled in between Cass at her back and Dee at her front. They both nodded her that way before purring her and themselves to sleep. It's been 4 days since her heat started, and each one has been transformative. Other alphas tried to explain this part to me, but I didn't have a prayer of understanding until I experienced it for myself. We've grown together from 3 separate alphas into 1 unit, a real team. So much so, I'm starting to wonder if waiting to bond until the end of an Omega's heat is really for their benefit, or really for ours. After years of feeling like everything fell to me, having them here to help keep Remy comfortable has been a revelation. The way they've stepped up would make any pack leader proud. Damon and Cassian have never let our girl down. Or me. We haven't always been a picture-perfect pack, or the world's best alphas. But what did Remy say about making perfect the enemy of the good?
I look around at the guys who grew from angry, lost teenagers into men who love our Omega so well, and I think, I did good. They are good. And I did that. Built us a life, took them in, made this pack. Somehow kept us together even though we were falling apart. The whole time, it felt like I was failing, not being the pack alpha they needed to reach their full potential. But maybe potential was never the fucking point. Maybe this is. They don't need someone to micromanage their lives into oblivion. They just need me and Remy, and a place where they know other people see them and love them. Remy did that part just by being herself. The heat has been life-changing for a lot of reasons, but I think the best one may just be how much I miss her. It's odd. I've been inside her body for a third of every day, soaked in her scent, surrounded by her moans, and sleeping with her silken curls strewn around me. But I miss her. Science never could have done that. No equation in the world would make her the woman who warms my heart like no other. It has nothing to do with her Omega or my Alpha. It's just her. So when she stirs, cracking open eyes that actually seem somewhat alert, my heart flips. Joy rises right to my face, and I let it show, flashing a smile at her while I arch an eyebrow. Is that my very naughty Omega, or my sweet little petal? She doesn't answer with words, but the beaming grin on her face is enough to tell me that I'm right. She's back from her haze, at least a little bit. I'm relieved. She's been increasingly bratty about eating and washing. Last night, Cass and Damon had to hold her down in the tub while I spanked her ass and her pussy. Luckily, she didn't notice they were rinsing bubbles out of her hair while I did it. The food issue has Damon stressed. He's tried to feed her every time she's woken up for the last 2 days, but she isn't ever up for more than a few bites before she goes back to begging for a nod. In 4 days, I doubt she's gone more than a few hours without intense need. I'm grateful she'll never have to go through a single heat alone ever again. Enduring them on her own must have been excruciating. Just picturing it puts me on edge. She feels my scent darken and her eyes go wide. I make my way over to her, reaching between Damon and Cass to cup her cheek. She feels cooler, but still warm, which means it's time. This is the moment I've been waiting for, aching for. She's going to be mine. Ours.
Chapter 66. Remy. The first thing I see when I open my eyes is the Alpha who makes my belly flip. He's lying close, but still far enough to necessitate peering through the murky pre-morning gray that's filtering into my nest somehow. The details are still hazy, just like the edges of my vision, but his face is set in sharp, clear lines, relief and desire bright in his dark eyes. Pack Alpha, my Omega supplies, sounding sleepy and sated for the first time in as long as I can remember. Bite. Claim. Mine. I swear, she just about yawns on that last word, as if she can't be bothered to keep her eyes open anymore. As far as she's concerned, there's no urgency. Nothing to worry about. These Alphas are hers, and they're going to bite her as soon as we let them. The Pack Alpha does nothing to dispel her smug assumption. Instead, he crawls over and cups my face in his hands. That one simple touch is enough to pull a whine out of me. The cramp that pangs through my core isn't as wrenching as I expect, but it's enough. My body clamps around the other Alphas. They're still inside me, and the motion rouses them both. My bear Alpha grunts into my hair, nestling closer, while my sweet Alpha kisses my forehead, muttering, pretty girl. Love you too. I feel them both get thicker, straining to press deeper. The pack alpha smirks, running his eyes over our tangle. The expression looks so familiar, a name suddenly pings in my brain. Smith. Being able to think at all is a relief, but remembering all of them banishes any last bits of trepidation thrumming in my blood. That's Smith, and this is Damon, and the mountain of bulging, brooding muscle behind me is Cassian. And they're all mine. Except not really, not yet. I've tried to bite them so many times over the last few days, but Smith has stopped each of us every time. His barks were soft and careful, but remembering them still floods my eyes with tears. Why did he say no? Angel, Smith whispers, bending over my head to give me an upside-down brush of his lips. I've been waiting for you. We all have. Are you ready to be ours now? The words swirl around my blurry brain before they sink in. My stomach trembles with nerves, but fresh slick douses Cassian and Damon, who both groan. Smith's half-smile blossoms into a full grin. Even though my head feels fuzzy, I can't resist grinning back. Grumbling, the alphas rearrange all of us, handing me to Smith. He curls my body in his lap and lowers his forehead to mine. How do you want us, Omega? Separately? No, I never want them to feel separated from each other again. They lived like that for way too long. My Omega and I agree. We know what we need to do. It takes a moment to find words. When I do, my voice is a scratchy whisper. All together. Smith's smile glows with pride. Perfect. He brushes his lips over mine, murmuring low. Kneel, Omega. A burst of perfume fills the nest. All three alphas react, Cass growling, while Damon chokes. Smith smooths my hair back and kisses me softly. He pulls back and stares into my eyes, speaking to the others. I want her throat. Damon chuckles darkly. Mine's a surprise. Cassian's chest rumbles. Her shoulder. Green eyes peer at me over his packmate's shoulder while he lifts my arm by the wrist and skims his teeth over my palm. Is that all right, baby? I whine again, trying to squirm closer to him. He smiles, and it's so beautiful my lungs stutter. His big hand cups my head, petting down my hair. Threading my fingers around his wrist to hold on to him, I reach my other hand out for Damon. He comes to me right away, helping position my thighs around Smith's hips. Ride our alpha, sweetness, he rasps. When you're ready to come, we'll all bite you. My inner muscles clench while a pulse of pain rocks me. When I whimper, Smith instantly lifts me up and slowly lowers me onto his cock. I don't know how they're all so hard and ready for me, but this alpha is throbbing. His knot is already half full, hot and swollen where it touches my pussy lips. He groans at the feel of me, panting. I've been inside you for days. How do you feel so fucking incredible every time? Urgency clamps me around his length when his head rubs into the place where I want his knot. I keen, bouncing on top of him. My thighs tremble, the muscles exhausted. But Cassian notices and slides his chest to my back, rubbing his dick over my ass while he holds my weight, banding his huge hands around my waist. Rems, he whispers into my nape. There's no rush, butterfly. We're all here. We're all yours. Relax and enjoy your alpha's big cock. Is his not going to fill you all the way up? I cry out again, nodding frantically. He's right, there's no reason to rush, and I don't want to. But the desperation sinking its claws into my stomach refuses to retreat. My hands scratch at Smith's upper arms. Our pack leader leans away to let Damon lower his face between our bodies. He hums as he licks around the top of my clit. Alpha! I scream, fisting his hair. Ah! Shh! He purrs into the pulsing nub, rubbing his full lips over it. Feel this, baby. Focus on how good it feels and let us take care of you. They do. Holding me up, filling me gently, lapping at my clit until I'm so full of burning bliss I think I'll slip back into my haze. Cassian cups his calloused palms over my breasts, while Damon licks smooth, slick circles around the place where Smith pushes into me deeper and deeper. No matter how hard I beg, they refuse to go faster, each one clearly relishing every second. They're all working together, a team, a real pack. They're ready. The impulse comes straight from my Omega, along with a rush of slick that has Smith bottoming out, his knot popping into place. He hisses, and I whine as Damon sucks me into his mouth, lashing at the swollen bud with his tongue until I come all over Smith. Now! The word snaps out of me, and none of them make me wait. Smith lunges up, finding the perfect place on my bare throat and sinking his teeth right into it. Smith! The scalding spurt of his seed bathes my insides like a volcano as his essence blazes an unyielding path down my throat. Heat winds its way to a part of me I've never known, some secret sacred space in my very middle, under my air, in front of everything else that makes me who I am. He's there, a coil of gold silk, or maybe just gold, smooth and cool, but somehow heavy and solid too. The tether curls around my soul, waiting. I sob, wanting nothing more than to bite him back and feel the inside of him, the way he must be feeling me. But a set of perfect white teeth flash at my thigh, sinking into the flesh just beside my mound. Damon. Like a crack of lightning, his energy zips into my blood and races right for my core. It's bright and bouncy with a secret bit of sweetness. The bolt hits my pounding heart harder than Smith's cool, thick coil, but entwines with it seamlessly. The cold metal tempers his heat. The charge of electricity livens the gold, balanced, brilliant, bliss. Another climax rocks through me, my slick pussy gushing over Smith's knot, while he releases another load, along with a serrated growl. Damon moans, his teeth still piercing me, coming all over my side and hip. Their scents swell to fill the nest, stronger than mine, blending into bitter sweetness. And it's every good thing I can imagine, except for Cassian. He nuzzles into my nape, purring against my back while he takes his time finding the right spot. In the end, it's opposite Smith's, right where my shoulder knits against the side of my neck, right where he likes to lay his head and hide from the world. His lips vibrate against my skin, whispering, "Always was," he vows, "always will be." My bear winds up biting the softest of all three. And unlike the heavy unspooling of Smith or Damon's quick charge, Cassian's soul comes slower, like a misty rain showering my heart in everything soothing. Protection, devotion, promises. There's power underneath. Rolling thunderclouds that could clap or roil, strength and depth and a bit of mystery, but mostly love. So much, so soft. It blankets my heart, pitter-pattering over the others and sinking into us all. It's perfect, some delirious part of my mind murmurs. After precious metal is tempered by heat, it's cooled in water, and it comes out indestructible. Cass releases the soft part of my neck, moaning into my skin while he comes against my back. The warm lashes pump the scent of dark chocolate and hazelnut into the air, turning our nest into the most perfect place on earth. My alphas move to arrange themselves in a triangle, each of them kneeling and facing each other. Smith hauls me up with him, smuggling me in his arms and licking at the claim he left on my throat. His knot pulses inside me, stretching to fill every last nook. I feel us lock together again and sob while I find the place I want to mark each of them, just above the heart. It's like plugging in a string of lights. One moment the tether is loose and the next it pulls taut, connecting us as it sparkles to life. And I can feel him. His pride, his adoration, the solid, serious weight in his center, and underneath all of that, the fear that he won't be able to hold us all up. I funnel reassurance to him, opening every inner door to let him see inside, showing him how cared for and loved I've felt for the last few weeks, telling him he's the strongest, most competent Alpha and Omega's ever had. "Remy," he murmurs quietly, clutching at me while he comes again, groaning. "God, I love you. Can you feel how much?" It floods into me, a wash of warmth and gratitude. He's so, so thankful. For me. The feeling sends tears to my eyes. He kisses them away, nuzzling our faces together. I've never been more grateful for a gift in all my life, or more unworthy. It isn't true. I press my lips into his skin, showing him just how worthy he is, with flashes of memory. I feel his mouth curve against my cheek while he listens internally, the connection between us solidifying into an unbreakable strand. My pack Alpha's knot releases. I hear a gasp. The scent of spiced autumn beats at me, like a pulse in the air. Smith feels my pang of guilt for getting distracted and laughs softly. Is Damon next, Angel? I nod a bit too fast and he chuckles again before I can think about moving. I'm lifted off Smith and passed to Damon. He envelops me immediately, impaling me on his rock-hard length while he pulls me into his purring chest. Need you, he pants. Please, baby, please. My feeble little Omega purr starts up, reacting to his distress. He makes a plaintive moaning sound, his cock twitching inside of me as my body vibrates around his length. Cassian likes the noise, too. He presses closer, breathing hard while he fists his knot and watches us with wild green eyes. I bury my face against Damon's smooth, hard pectorals, inhaling his rich autumn spice, holding it deep in my lungs while I open my mouth and pierce the place over his left nipple, giving him a claim to match Smith's. Damon chokes on a growl, his knot exploding to fill me so perfectly. His tether pulls tight and lights up, just like our pack Alpha's, only his strand flickers with joy instead of shining steadily. I love the way he feels, so happy and sure. We're his family, his everything, and not one speck of him dissents. Holding him close, I pull up all of my favorite memories of him, lingering on how much happiness he's brought to my life. How many times I've smiled, watching him walk out of a room, thinking how lucky I was to get to be home with him, to build a home with him, to be a home for him. I send him all of my appreciation for the days spent on the couch watching Bake Off and nights spent pleasuring me and expecting nothing in return. Shifting through my favorite moments brings me back to that day in the ice rink, his questions about us making a family together, and how excited I am to do that with him, to know him like no one else ever has. By the time I'm finished, I feel his tears soaking into my hair. He swipes them away, grinning. Unashamed, because he can feel all of the same emotions swirling through me. Our damp lips brush and cling. All in, pretty girl, he whispers, smiling and teasing me with a subtle thrust of his hips. All the way in. With one final kiss to my forehead, he hands me off to Cassian. My bear is out of patience, it seems, paying no mind to the creamy swirl of cum and slick dripping from me. He lodges himself deep inside, locking his knot into place right away. I gasp, coming around him in a rush that stuns me. Damon and Smith both feel it through our bonds and grunt. More hot release splatters over my back and my ass while Cassian takes my mouth, ravaging me with a filthy licking kiss. Fucking need you, he groans, pained, while he bounces me on his knot, letting it tug at all the most sensitive places I have. I've needed you for so long, Rems. I didn't know what the fuck I was missing, but it was you. I let him scrape the words out and give him what he wants, clamping my teeth over his heart, smoothing the sting away with my tongue, while his bond stretches and flips on. The glow is softer than the other two, but there's a beautiful tinge to the weak light that reminds me of sunrise. Smith is steady, and Damon is bright, but Cassian? Cassian is eternal. To the bottom of his soul, all through his fathomless depths, he loves me in a way no one else possibly ever could, in a way I never knew existed. He's devoted, unshakable, consumed with complete contentment just from this, from me. Now it's my turn to cry. As my eyes well, he holds me against his rumbling chest, dropping soft kisses to my brow. Do you feel how much I adore you? He says inside. Do you see how gray my world was before I found you again? I do, and it almost destroys me. I hate that he ever suffered like that, so lost and lonely, never knowing what he needed or how he felt, buried in a fog of apathy that wouldn't lift, no matter how hard he tried. My fingers thread into his hair, sinking against his scalp. The pleasure of that simple touch echoes through him like a sonic boom. When my body clenches in reply, his answering bolt of bliss nearly sends me into another orgasm. I feel his smile against my shoulder and the corresponding flicker of joy inside of him. Both have me grinning like a loon while I hug his neck. I love you, Cassian. His contentment swells to fill his whole body. I'll always love you, Rems. A thought occurs to me. I lean back slightly and shoot him a look. Just because you can talk to me in here now doesn't mean you get to stop talking altogether. He flashes his rare grin, cocking an eyebrow. Wanna bet? Damon and Smith surround us, both smiling, though our pack leader's expression has a wry edge to it. You know he hates talking to anyone who isn't us. He'll never have to speak again now that we're bonded. Joy pings through all four of us. The bonds wrapped around my middle light up like a switchboard, and I know they're all using them to speak to each other without using words. They're connected. Through me. They can all hear each other, show each other things. I did it. All three alphas hear my dazed, exhausted exultation. I'm instantly flooded with love, pride, possession, amusement, and soft concern. The lights inside me glow and pulse, but I can't hear anything they say to each other. Some tired, distant part of my mind realizes they're talking about me, not to me, and I smile sleepily. Purrs rattle around me. My body feels weightless, like I'm floating on a cloud. I land on Smith's richly scented skin, burying my face in his pecs. Cassian curls around my back, pressing his rumbles into my spine until it melts. Damon makes space for himself between my torso and Smith's, hugging my hips and nuzzling his face into my belly. Sleep, angel, Smith croons. We'll be in your dreams.
Chapter 67. Cassian. There's a charge thrumming in my blood as I step out of the car. I can't remember the last time I felt this way. The rush of competition, the thrill of anticipation. It reminds me of playing for our high school team, the way I used to spend the whole day before a game, buzzing, full of restless energy, tinged with aggression. I'm excited and pissed, but hey, a color is a color and nothing here is gray. Remy feels my nervous anger and puts her little hands on my chest, beaming up at me. I love the look of pride in her eyes and the way it echoes down our bond, but I hate how she shakes when I cup her shoulders in my palms. It's too fucking soon for us to be back out in the world. Most packs stay nested or nest-adjacent for well over a week after they bond. But here we are, 2 days out from the evening her fever broke, facing this clusterfuck of a situation. My protective instincts don't like it. Remy has barely caught up on her sleep, let alone adjusted to having three alpha bonds running through her, not to mention regaining her strength after eating so little during her heat. That won't happen again. Now that we are all bonded, it will be much easier for us to coax her through next time. The thought gives me a burst of satisfaction, infused with a vein of heated lust. Remy feels both, giggling quietly and raising her brow at me. You all ready to go again, Bear? So soon? I snatch her waist, picking her right up and planting my mouth over hers. Always butterfly. We can feel Damon's pulse of curiosity before he lopes around the car. In the last 3 days, I don't think the guy's closed his curtain even once. If I focus long enough, I can always pick up on the thread of his thoughts, playing unobtrusively in the background of our bond, like an upbeat pop song. Dee snorts a laugh and loops his arms around Remy's waist to hug her from behind. I wondered what had our pretty girl all happy and horny. Just this big guy, huh? She purses her lips to hold back a chortle and makes the absolute worst joke of all time. Well, he is unbearably handsome. While she and Damon crack up, Smith's groan can be heard all the way from the other side of the Range Rover. He shakes his head, dusting the navy lapels of his suit and plucking at the pair of silky, blue-striped panties folded in his jacket pocket. These puns are out of control. Dee flashes a wide grin, hooking an arm over Remy's shoulders and rolling his eyes at us. Come on, let's get this the puck over with. Jesus, even I have to groan at that one. Paying no mind to my grimace or Smith's, Damon leads Remy through the parking lot. His mood takes a nosedive once we hit the sidewalk in front of the arena. Apprehension and embarrassment fill the bond, along with Remy's sweet reassurances. Smith is surprisingly quiet. He has been every time we've discussed Damon and me returning to work. It's our fifth game of this playoff series, and so far, the Timberwolves haven't totally sucked without us. Our backup goalie has allowed more points than I ever would, but Gunner's been channeling Damon, and he's posted enough shots to keep the score even at 2 games, 1 for each squad. We're not exactly sure what we're walking into tonight. Standard heat leave procedure calls for us to report to the next team event as soon as we're able, which happens to be tonight. But Coach could tell Damon to fuck off and bench him until his contract officially expires in 3 games. And I could be looking at some bench time myself, after the way I wordlessly walked out for Remy's heat. So fucking worth it, I think to everyone grumbling. They all reply with various blends of fond amusement and annoyance. Not the point, Bear, Remy snaps. Totally the point, Damon replies, bending to kiss her head. Smith mutters something about going to speak to the team managers, straightening his sleeves and fidgeting with his not-a-pocket-square again. We all look at each other when he stalks off, wondering what we've missed. Has his internal curtain been drawn like that all day? What for? Remy doesn't know either. She chews on her lower lip, anxiety bleeding into her chest. Damon and I wrap her in a two-sided hug. He's just stressed about the contract shit, I mumble. He'll be back soon. We're here early, even for us. Plenty of time for Damon to indulge his alpha's instinct to stuff Rems full of food. He gets her a soft pretzel and a pornographically large hot dog, purring and petting her loose curls while he feeds her both by hand. She accepts his over-attentive fussing, with sweet smiles and little bursts of bemusement. I keep an eye on our surroundings, grappling with my own impulses. The need to protect feels particularly urgent. When I spot the sleazy reporter who tried to corner Remy at her first game, I know why. He's watching the three of us, a phone dangling from his hand. I'm sure he's already taken a dozen pictures, but none of us react. We already decided, as a pack, that we don't care what the press reports. It won't change anything for us. So let them take pictures of the marks on Remy's throat and her shoulder. Let everyone in the whole damn world know she's ours. Smith reappears about 20 minutes later, holding a folder and striding right toward us. He waves a hand over his shoulder, sending us a smile and a beat of impatience that makes no sense. Come on! We all batter him with questions while we follow him out of the main public area of the arena into the bowels below. There are offices down here, along with our locker rooms, equipment, and medical facilities. Once we get to the carpeted hallway, I realize there are a lot of administrative staffers here. They usually don't have to come in for weekend games. Maybe because of the playoffs? But everyone seems distinctly harried while they rush from one office to another, carting boxes or stacks of files. Damon's brow knits. He feels stupid for not immediately understanding, and I send him a pulse of, "You're not alone." What's happening? He asks, releasing Remy to turn in a half circle. Are people moving offices? Smith nods. Yes, I've restructured some things down here. Dee and I both blink at him, each vaguely wondering if he's finally cracked. What makes him think he can come down here and give orders? Remy figures it out first, of course. Her eyes drop to the folder in his hand and fly back up to his face. "You didn't," she breathes. But she knows he did. He bought the team. Her dazed realization reverberates through all of us. Damon balks, my jaw drops, Smith's features pull into a cringe. My mind races, recalling odd memories that seemed off at the time, but make sense now. Like his lack of reaction to hearing Damon walked off the ice for Remy's heat, the muttered phone calls he made the day we all finally came out of the nest and faced the world, all conducted with his internal walls up, and the way he and Ronan Ash spent over an hour talking at our last gathering. Is this what they were cooking up? A team takeover? The brilliant bastard. "I'm sorry I had to keep it a secret, Angel. There was an NDA clause in place for the acquisition process. Until we all signed the paperwork, I wasn't at liberty to say anything to anyone, not even our pack. I never thought I'd be waiting so long. We were supposed to sign last week, but with the heat, things got pushed a bit." Half of his words don't even hit me. Remy's thought keeps twirling through my head. He bought the team. For her to keep her alphas together. For Damon to give him time to figure himself out. For me, so I can keep playing, now that I can finally enjoy it again. For us, our pack, our home, our family. We all start to collapse around him, moving for a group huddle. Okay, a group hug. But there's a crash behind me. I whirl, immediately putting myself between Remy and the source of the noise. It's the weaselly reporter on the ground, surrounded by gear. He must have been hiding in the open supply closet and fell out trying to record us. His phone lies 2 feet from my foot, where it landed when he fell. With a decisive stomp, I smash it under my shoe. He opens his mouth to protest, but we all snarl viciously. The coward's eyes fly wide as he leaps up, scrambling backward in retreat. Remy peeks around my arm, watching him run away and letting out an indignant huff. "What a cunt."
Chapter 68. 5 months later. Smith. She bought this thing on purpose. The thought makes me smile. I push harder at the lever of the espresso machine, putting more weight behind cranking the damn thing than I'd like to admit. Damon may have me working out with him and Cass 4 mornings a week, but we tend to do more talking and bullshit competitions than actual work, which is fine for them, since the team trainers I hired are some of the best in the country. But maybe I need to get my own weight coach if I can't even make a latte without breaking a sweat. Of course, there's the fact that this is not an average espresso machine, but one that our Omega selected specifically, I suspect, to torture me. Touché, little pedal. It's French and appropriately temperamental. She chose it on our summer trip to Paris, when she fell in love with the café au lait from a tiny café near our hotel. Remy being Remy, she then proceeded to learn enough French to charm the proprietor into telling her where he bought the damn espresso machine. Once she saw the price tag, she never mentioned it again. So, of course, I made it my mission to source one for her, a light blue one to match our kitchen at home, and a sand-colored model to keep here at the beach house. Now, as I fight with the machine for the 4th morning in a row, I realize my brilliant Omega may have played me like a piano. She knew I would buy this, and she knew it would be impossible for me to use. Evil genius. I send the thought through our bond, along with a mental image of the machine. I get a sparkle of delighted laughter back, sleepy but still full of smug amusement. I hate that I have to close the curtain between us, but I can't let her see anything else that's going on in the bungalow's tiny kitchen. Most importantly, it's a surprise. And second, Damon hasn't exactly perfected the clean-as-you-go aspect of his budding cooking skills.
Hey!
He says out loud, feeling my internal wince when I look around at the countertops.
I have a system!
On any other day, I might bitch about the mess, but not today, and not when he's so palpably excited to bring our girl her breakfast. He's worked hard on it, I'll give him that. After months of watching Remy's baking shows with her, he started venturing into the kitchen on his own. What started as a batch of brownies here and an omelet there has now turned into him doing just as much in the kitchen as our Omega. Pride thumps in my chest while I watch him bend over the stove, poking at the French toast he's cooking. A lesser man may have taken my purchase of the team as a free pass to go back to the way he used to live, but Damon really took the lesson of nearly losing his hockey career to heart. The team finished third in the league, but with Gunner still improving and Dee back on the ice, we're planning to go all the way next year. Damon is still applying himself to other ventures, though. Over the summer, he started looking for other hobbies and goals outside of being a pro athlete. He asked to come on a few rounds with me for Pearson Properties, looking into what being one of our sales directors would entail. After some coaxing from me and Remy, he also agreed to see a professional regarding his dyslexia. But, in the meantime, he and Cass started an informal audiobook club with some of the Ashpax Alphas and our Omegas. Apparently, Theo is really into monster romances. Declan prefers cowboys. No matter what life throws at Damon, he comes out the other side stronger, smiling, and usually better off. He still likes to call it luck, but I think Remy's right. It's less about luck and more about him being the kind of person who spins straw into gold. I let a beat of pride through our bond while I clap him on the shoulder, peering over his shoulder. Looks great, Damon. He smiles, the easy grin masking the internal note of surprise I sense every time one of us is proud of him. Did you get the candles? Yeah, I reach into the side pocket of my briefcase where I've been hiding them all weekend. Here. Damon rips them open, shaking his head. I never realized how hard it would be to plan a surprise for her, he mutters. I haven't even heard her yet today. He means in his head. Of all of us, Damon is the one who can be counted upon to have his every thought available. Going hours without talking to Remy must be strange for him. She's happy, I report, stabbing at buttons on the espresso machine, and she bought this thing to annoy me. Everyone knew that, big hoss, he laughs. You should have seen her face the first morning you tried to use it. He slides his mental curtain open just long enough to slip me an image of Remy, rumpled and sexy in one of her negligees, giggling behind her palms while I fought with a stubborn lever. Every time I cursed, she snorted into her hands. Damon and I stand still, each of us staring internally at her sweet, gorgeous face. Love bursts through my body and echoes in my packmates. When his is accompanied by a whack of doubt, I turn my head and find him wincing at our breakfast. Do you think she'll like this? He mumbles. I know what he means. Nothing ever seems quite good enough for the girl who gives us everything. We could get more flowers, another present, some shells from the beach. I start to look around for some other idea, my eyes darting across the small living room, when they fall on the sign our Omega now has hanging over the front door. I freeze. Don't make perfect the enemy of the good. A smile stretches over my face. She'll love it, because she loves us, and we love her. It's not perfect, but it's good. And that's the best of all. Cassian. She did this on purpose. The quiet thought occurs to me
as I lie in the beach house's only bed, facing the wall of windows. Golden pink streams through the tissue-thin curtains framing the view. It's a straight shot through the tiny house's tiny backyard, over a few dozen feet of sand, right to the ocean, to the sunrise, emerging from the aqua blue. Once Remy decided to dedicate a portion of her summer to making this house exactly the way she wanted it, we all knew it would be beautiful. She surprised us by abandoning the preppy, sophisticated style of our pack house in favor of a kitschier, more bohemian style here. We all love it, but Smith is particularly enamored. This place has been healing for him, I think. The way the deck slopes slightly, the constant salty musk of sea air, the fine layer of sand that coats the threshold no matter how many times we vacuum, all the little quirks he'll never be able to fix, it's been surprisingly easy for him to let them go. Remy helps. Her first beach house rule: no one cleans until everyone's been to the beach and had a nap. Her second rule: no one closes the bedroom curtains. Because she wanted me to wake up to this, I realize. A sunrise view, the one we spent years chasing. It's here, and she made sure our bed was oriented right toward it. My beautiful, brilliant girl. She hears my thought but doesn't reply, burrowing down into my chest instead, pretending to sleep. She does that sometimes, and none of us ever call her on it because it's so goddamn endearing. If acting like she's still unconscious to get more cuddles is the only thing my girl feels the need to pretend ever again, I will die a happy man. Her leg flinches against mine, confirming my suspicion. The side of my mouth twitches into a half-smile while I tuck my face into her mussed curls. Now that we're bonded, Remy and I rarely speak out loud when we're alone together. We both enjoy the quiet and revel in the feeling of being so connected without ever having to break it. Instead of speaking, I send her a mental image of the sunrise outside our window. Then I send her pictures of 100 other sunrises on rooftops, balconies, bridges, from the top of the Eiffel Tower. That one took some doing. Worth it, though, for this exact moment, when her pure, unadulterated happiness lights up my soul. Good morning, she thinks. Bear. Her name for me floats through my chest, brushing my heart, so soft, like a butterfly landing on a branch, the flap of her colorful wings, a flit of devotion. Never intrusive, just enough to remind me I'm not alone. I hold her closer, completely content. Happy birthday, butterfly.
Damon. She's doing this on purpose. Pictures flip through my mind. Cassian's hands working her nightgown off, the view of her bare body in the morning light, the way her thighs part to let him slide between. I've corrupted you, I send back, every word saturated with satisfaction. Tell Cass to save room for breakfast. She bats back a flicker of impish delight, and the image of her knees parting wider. Whatever you say, trouble. I grin, figuring this is retaliation I deserve after the way I've tiptoed around the bond all morning. She knows I'm up to no good, and feels inspired to make a little mischief of her own. Naughty pretty girl. Her answering laughter gives my insides a glow. I chuckle too, closing the mental curtain up and turning back to her birthday brunch. Seeing that it's almost done, I send Cass a hard nudge. Dude, you have 5 minutes. He laughs, smug, offering a brief but glorious glimpse of our Omega all laid out for him. I only need 3. Smith and I both glower at him and each other. We know. The bear, formerly known as Beast, is true to his word. Less than 5 minutes later, he has her propped up against his naked chest, holding her with one arm around her waist. She put her nightgown back on, but that's probably for the best. I won't be able to sing happy birthday on key if my cock is out. Smith walks in first, carrying her breakfast tray and the small vase of flowers he chose for her. He also decorated her platter with seashells he collected and cleaned. I come in last, carting the 3-tiered pumpkin spice cake I made, walking slowly so I don't extinguish her birthday candles. Remy's golden blue eyes fill, her bare, beautiful face reflecting all the awe and gratitude flooding her center. We all sing to her, even her grumbly bear, laying the trays carefully over her lap and her knees. She sways and blinks, crystal tears trickling down her cheeks while she blows out the candles. Her fingers float up to touch the wings of the tissue paper butterflies Cassian insisted we use as decoration. I spread them up one side of the cake, their blue wings gradually lifting higher off the light pink icing, all the way up to the one single piece on the top, which looks like it's taking flight. "Just like you," I think to her, "just like all of us since we found you." Remy strokes over the thin wing and whispers, "It's perfect." Smith pets her hair, purring for her. "You're perfect," he corrects, "but Damon's cake is pretty damn good." Cassian nuzzles at her hair. "We got you a present, too." Smith has been holding on to it, but he must know how much it means to me, because he hands it to me to pass to our Omega. "Your sweetness." Remy takes the small box, turning it in her hands with an adorable look of suspicion on her face. "You guys already got me a gift. It's in the driveway, remember?" We feel her irony in the bond. She's kidding, because, of course, no one would ever forget her custom powder blue Mercedes SUV, specifically designed to fit all of us, with room for more. Smith surprised her with it a few days ago when we were packing up to come to the beach. "This one is special," I murmur, resisting the urge to bounce impatiently. "Open it." She smiles, shaking her head in a totally bogus chastisement. I can tell she doesn't really mean it, because she immediately starts ripping the paper off. The second she gets the little box open, all humor falls off of her face. Her plush pink lips part on a gasp, her eyes fly wide. "Oh my God!" Smith designed the piece, modeling it after a traditional engagement ring, one large stone in the middle with clusters of diamonds around it and a shimmering diamond band. Remy touches the aquamarine at the center, tracing the azure gem lovingly. "It's gorgeous," she breathes. I feel her delight, along with a wash of guilt. "But you didn't need to—" We all send her fierce blasts of reassurance. Mine comes with whispered words. "Yes, we did. We even engraved it." While she lifts the band to her face, tilting it to read the inside, I send her a picture of us in the ice skating rink, the day she told me why she didn't like her birthday, because it was the day her parents gave her up. We all hear her read today's date, along with her new name. Remy Pearson. A beat of excited confusion melds with a bolt of too-good-to-be-true apprehension. Cassian fixes it, speaking quietly. "We made sure the paperwork to officially change your name would go through today." Smith takes the ring from her and slides it onto the proper finger. "So now, when you think of your birthday, you'll remember that we chose you. And you'll always know how much you're wanted." A dam of emotion bursts inside of our girl. More tears spill over while the guys hug her between them. But I'm the one she looks right into, her heart touching mine internally, telling me she knows this was my idea, spilling gratitude and love through our bond. I multiply it and send it back, doing my best not to give in to the lump in my throat. She feels that too, though, and, of course, she knows just what to say. Still crying happy tears, she smiles and raises a brow at me.
But do you think trouble? Cake before breakfast?
Remy. So many things have changed, but I'm still a terrible liar. Smith tugs gently at my salt-crusted ponytail, tipping my head back into his wide shoulder. Are you tired, Petal? I am, but... Nope. He tuts, shaking his head slowly. His free hand skates down my belly, skirting my bikini bottoms. Omegas who fib get edged until they tell the truth. You know our house rules. As if the four of us didn't spend half of our afternoon in bed together. But between all the birthday sex, a long morning walk along the shore, and our late afternoon picnic on the beach, I'm feeling sun-drenched and sleepy. Of course, that could be due to the half bottle of champagne I've had with Smith while Damon and Cassian throw the football around. They're determined to beat Theo and Declan in a game when we host the Ash Pack for a cookout next weekend, all because Theo met up with them for conditioning one morning and turned out to be a secret hockey star. Ever since he scored a goal on Cassian, my alphas have been fired up for retribution. Meg and I have a bet going on how quickly flag football will devolve into full tackle. She thinks 6 minutes. I give it 4. Luckily, we'll both have our eye protection for any impromptu dick measuring. I smile, admiring the way the light refracts off of my new ring when I reach up to pull the teal heart sunglasses from my hair. I perch them on my nose and send my alpha a look. What about the house rule regarding work emails on the beach? His phone sits off to the side, open to his inbox. He grins at me. If you must know, I was checking our reservations for tonight. Family dinner at our favorite place for your birthday. I don't have to poke at his thoughts to know he's telling the truth, and that makes me smile even wider as I give him his very favorite compliment. Best alpha ever. It's true. He really is. Since he gave the everyday operations of Pearson Properties to his subordinates and stepped up to run the Timberwolves, he's been happier than ever and much less overwhelmed. Aside from a few key administrative changes, the team was already set up to run without much oversight. Of course, my type A alpha still keeps himself plenty busy, but now he's home every night for dinner, no matter what. And so are Cassian and Damon. Most evenings, that means we're all gathered around our kitchen table, in our pack house. But sometimes, family dinner looks like takeout in front of the TV, or ice cream in our nest, or dates on the town, or my favorite, sunsets at the beach. It's funny. I grew up with this ache in my middle, longing for a real house, a picket fence, my own room, some place to call my home. It turns out, home isn't a place at all. But I found mine anyway.
This is the end of Not Her Shot, a Podium Audio production. If you enjoyed this audiobook, we would love for you to rate and review it. For more paranormal romance, check us out at podiumaudio.com and sign up for our newsletter. We promise we won't spam you. Also, consider joining our community of listeners, fans, and trolls on social media. We're active on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, and Reddit. We'd love to connect. You have been listening to Not Her Shot, Book 2 of MVP Most Valuable Pack, produced by Hannah Grenfell, written by Ari Wright, performed by James Cavanaugh and Brooke Daniels. Text copyright 2024 by Ari Wright. Production copyright 2024 by Podium Audio. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.